Joining us in our downtown St. Petersburg studios inside Thrive DTSP are Mark and Mary Kay Liston. In July 2023, they published a book called Diagnosed: Inspirational Stories After an Alarming Medical Diagnosis. Before we get to the book, Mark and Mary Kay, we've known each other for several decades, but for the benefit of our audience, you both have interesting corporate business stories. I'll start with Mary Kay, and just what was your journey to get to retirement?
My journey started after college in radio, which then migrated to television, and I was in local broadcast TV in Sacramento, California, for a number of years. Eventually got into advertising sales, and ended up in the cable industry selling advertising sales locally in Los Angeles, California, when I got cut during one of the big cable mergers back in early 2000s. And that's when I discovered a company called Valpak, which was an advertising sales company, an advertising sales franchise, in fact, that is based right here in St. Petersburg.
Right.
And I took over running Los Angeles. I had 100 salespeople and five different offices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Valpak invented by Terry Label with an investment of $500 right here in St. Pete.
Wow.
And that was in 1968. So when you joined Los Angeles, about when?
2003.
So that's 20 years ago.
Yes.
And then where did you go?
And then I came to headquarters. Mm-hmm. And when I left Valpak in 2008, I went to another franchise company based in Sarasota. I won't name who they are. They've changed owners, and it's a different company now. But ultimately ended up in Waco, Texas, with what is now Neighborly. Neighborly has 26 or 27 consumer brands that they franchise all over the world. And I was running a brand called Molly Made when it came time to retire, and Mark and I retired 2 years ago. Excuse me, 3 years ago now. Right. Time flies when you're having fun. 3 years ago, and now we are snowbirds.
Well, as the president of Molly Made's, what was that organization like? Were you all across the country? Or?
Yes, we were U.S., the Molly Made brand. We had 500 locations.
Wow.
And my responsibility, my team's responsibility, was to award new franchises and then make sure that the owners were trained up and knew how to run their business according to the system, which was well-defined, and then continue coaching them. I had a team of franchise business coaches who helped them be just as successful as they wanted to be.
Right. So we have one president of a national franchise brand, and I believe we have another one. Mark Liston, your story, sir.
When I was 26 years old, I had a chance to go work for a company in Ohio, and it was called Kinetico.
Water softener.
Kinetico water softeners. And I went there with no background at all in franchising. 40-some years later, Joe, I retired from franchising, no longer with Kinetico. My trip down memory lane was a few companies. When I was working for Midas, I loved the job. I had a company car. Everything was just going good. The challenge was that the president of the company did not like franchisees. He came from Pep Boys, and so Pep Boys didn't have any franchisees. So he at one point decided, yeah, we're just going to cut off half the department. Guess who was on that half? I went to the National Franchise Association convention, and someone recommended that I talk to this company called Valpak. So I went over, and the company convention was in Orlando. I went over to here in St. Petersburg and interviewed. And lo and behold, I went to work for them in 2002, and it was the best run of my life. I met Mary Kay because of that, and it was just a tremendous opportunity for me in so many ways. And then when Cox made some changes, then I left and went to the same company that Mary Kay did. She won't mention it because it is the worst company I have ever worked for in my life. And in 6 months, decided to leave. And through the grace of God, I found Neighborly. Yeah.
And you and I both left a fabulous company in Valpak. It was right. just time to change. But we had the best boss. Who was our boss? What was his name?
Some crazy guy.
Yeah. yeah.
Joe Bordeaux, yeah. I believe.
And when you
name.
Went to Neighborly, it was the Dwyer Group.
Correct.
So it was led by a woman, a fabulous person, Dina Dwyer Owens. And I see that she wrote an introduction to your book.
We're very good friends with Dina.
Yeah. Dina Dwyer, and then became Neighborly in a transaction. And there are some, what is it, 28 brands or so.
Yeah, there was only eight when we went there.
Wow. Okay.
So we watched the entire growth, and it was fun to be there during that time and watch all that was different that was happening. So it was very good to us. Mm-hmm. And at that point, we decided to, you know what, we should live by the kids. So we're snowbirds, and we have two sons up in Ohio, outside of Cleveland, and then a daughter down here. Okay. We live 2 miles away, and it's wonderful living by the kids now and grandkids.
Well, the brand that you led as president at Neighborly was?
Glass Doctor.
Glass Doctor.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. I came on as vice president of operations, and then about a year and a half later, the president left, and I became the president.
Right. And I believe we can legally say, because it's such a well-known slogan on non-commercial radio, one of the great slogans of all time, which was, call the Glass Doctor, he'll... We fix your pains.
Yeah,
and I know.
We were in Europe on a trip, and somebody saw Mark's logo shirt and came up to us and started singing the jingle.
Yeah. Right. Call the Glass Doctor.
We fix your pains. It was tremendous.
And how big an organization was that?
I had about 175 franchisees in North America. Mm-hmm. We were about a $175 million company.
Yeah. Okay. Terrific. So we have Molly Maids represented. We have... The Glass Doctor, and when we worked together, I always thought you probably would end up writing a book, but I bet you had no idea this would be the topic of the book. So how did this all occur?
It was about 18 months ago, Joe.
Wow.
We were at our Ohio home, and Mark had a bad cough. Now, I don't know about your household, but in my household, it's sometimes difficult to get someone to go to urgent care and take care of a cough. But Mark did. Well, I got him there, and the doctor in urgent care ran some tests and became quite alarmed and said, you need to get to the ER right now, to the point that he had Mark go in an ambulance across the parking lot to the hospital, where we remained in the emergency room with tests being run on him for about 5 hours. After that, a doctor came out very somberly and said, I'm sorry to tell you, there's a mass on your lung, Mark, and you have lung cancer. Here's a list of oncologists. You need to find one.
Wow. And you were not a smoker?
No, not a smoker. Never around secondhand smoke.
Right.
So right away, we shed a tear. We prayed and said, this is too big, Lord. We just can't handle this.
I have no idea
how to handle it. That night was really tough, though, because we had to call and tell all three kids.
Yeah.
They're all in their 40s. And they were shocked because I was not a smoker. I wasn't around anybody with secondhand smoke. Next morning, my daughter called, and she's in the medical field, and she says, Dad, I have an appointment with you for my pulmonologist at 10 o'clock on Tuesday morning. You need to get to Florida, which we did. And that same morning, I started journaling. Joe, you know how I like to write.
Right.
The good news is, after I met Mary Kay, everything I wrote got a lot better because she would edit it. So every morning for the next 3 months, I journaled every morning.
Mm-hmm.
It might be one sentence sometimes. It might be a half a page sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It was all my thoughts, my fears, doctor appointments I had coming up, medicines I was supposed to take. And it was just really a run on emotions every day.
And so treatment began, or more testing, or how did this all play out?
The pulmonologist sent us to an oncologist who performed a biopsy. And after 40 biblical days, we discovered that Mark did not have cancer, in fact, was cancer-free. But the doctor's appointments continued while they still tried to determine what was going on in his lungs. Yes.
Yeah. And how long did it take to get any sort of resolution, or do you have the resolution now?
I go tomorrow again to Moffitt for more tests. There's still something in my lungs.
Yeah.
But we know it's not cancer.
Yeah.
So, Joe, when you know you don't have cancer,
yeah.
it's a whole lot easier to say, yeah, I'll be in next month. I'll be in 6 months. That's okay.
Yeah. So the journal became a book? Is that what happened?
Exactly right. There's enough input that I thought, you know what, maybe we should write a book, but only write a book about what it's like when you're diagnosed with an alarming medical diagnosis, mm-hmm. which could be cancer. It could be anything else. So we thought about that. On day 70 then, so day 70 from the 3rd of November, mm-hmm. I woke up that morning, and I don't know if it was a dream, I don't know if it was a message, but I do know it was something that said, this book just can't be about you. Mm-hmm. Well, I had no idea who else might be that sick or might have cancer. So I did one of the most brilliant things, I think, in my life, Joe. I thought I'd put it on Facebook.
Such a boomer thing.
So I told Mary Kay, I said, hey, I want to put something on Facebook that says we're going to write a book about cancer and other alarming medical diagnoses. What do you think? I bet we get two or three people that reply. She said, yeah, go ahead. And what happened?
MP? By the end of that day, we had over 20 people mm-hmm. raise their hand and said, you've got to tell my story.
I see.
And that's when the interviewing began mm-hmm. and the note-taking and the book started to take shape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so in that message, though, on Facebook, I said, if you're a cancer survivor, if you've been diagnosed with a scary diagnosis, if you're a caregiver, if you're in the midst of treatment, or if you just know somebody, let me know. So when we got 20 back within 12 hours, I was absolutely shocked. We determined, though, that we just didn't want them all about one type of cancer or just one illness. So we wanted a variety of the different types that it could be, and we wanted different treatments, too. And that's exactly what we were able to do.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking with Mark and Mary Kay Liston and their book, Diagnosed: Inspirational Stories After an Alarming Medical Diagnosis. Spotlight maybe a couple of the other stories and what was the nature of those.
One of my favorite is about a 4-year-old boy who had stage 4 sarcoma. We didn't talk to him, obviously. Mm-hmm. We talked to his dad. And there were lessons there about how a couple of parents can manage through something this horrific and still stay on the same page and keep their family intact. They ended up moving to another city, living in a Ronald McDonald House for over a year while their son had treatment. And the dad used to go out every morning and run. He was in the military, and that was his way of coping with stress. And every time he ran, he would stop in at a particular Catholic church and light a candle. One day the priest saw him, and the priest started running with him every day. And before too long, they were hitting every single church in the city and lighting a candle. Well, the son is now a 19-year-old college sophomore and thriving, doing just great. But the message was about how the couple needs to work together mm-hmm. to get a good outcome.
Well, from a practical standpoint, you conducted the interviews. You had a better view of your own future as it related to this scare. What were the steps to get this thing published?
Oh, that's hard. You know, because I like to write. I thought, well, this should be very easy. I had no idea. So we said, well, we'll just self-publish it.
Right.
I didn't realize that if you're self-publishing, they don't give you much help.
Yeah.
And it said when they sold you the package, all you got to do is write. We'll do all the rest.
Yeah, right.
Well, that wasn't even close to true. So we had to get a professional editor, which he did. And he was really good and really went down to it. I thought Mary Kay could edit, but she's not the professional.
Right.
She just has her degree in it. We did that, and then we sent it over, and then we had to make decisions on the pages. One of the things that Mary Kay loved was when they got our first draft, they had a new story on every page. So let's say it was December 15th, and I wrote 2 lines. Mm-hmm. Blank page, Nook's page. And like all of a sudden, the book was going to be about 700 pages long. It ended up only 256, which is still a lot,
right.
But we had a chance to go through that. Then they wanted the type of font. Then they wanted, do you want color, black and white? Then they wanted this, this, this. So we were very happy with it, but that was the real process. Then when you think, though, the process started on November 3rd, and our book was out by July 15th, we got it done pretty quickly.
That was pretty fast.
And then interviews. I know you have done countless interviews just like this. Talk about some of those.
Well, we had a goal of different types of treatments. So there's chemo, radiation, holistic alternative treatments.
Right. And depending on what radio host we were talking to, they asked us to spotlight one or the other. But we have given 40 radio interviews, I think. And the whole purpose of it, Joe, is so that people could get exposed to the book. I think it's a really useful handbook, not only for someone who's going through an illness. There are 26 stories of people who survived some kind of illness or another and what their treatment was like. But it also is chock full of lessons for people who know someone who's ill. And how am I going to help this ill person?
I see.
And we find that's probably the just as valuable.
Because I was the worst. A good friend of mine had pancreatic cancer. When he told us this, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know anybody that had cancer in my family. I had no idea what pancreatic cancer was. I never called him.
Right.
When he died a few months later, I felt terrible.
Right.
And I thought, I'm never going to do this again. Fortunately, the people in the book that we interviewed told us what to do, and they told us exactly how to do it.
Mm-hmm. How about response to it? You've sold a lot of books, do you hear from people in the mail, online? How do people reach out to you?
We have received feedback on the Amazon.com site where people can make comments about the book, and they've all been very positive. We also have a website, diagnosedbook.com, where people can communicate with us, and people do communicate with us through that. That's also, by the way, where we've posted our radio interviews, and this one will live there as soon as we get a copy of it as well.
Yeah. I think we need to focus a little bit, Mary Kay, on some of the lessons that we learned. So, for instance, I was always very good at saying, I'll say a prayer for you. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the worst thing to do. I mean, you want to pray with them. And every time you say to someone, can I pray with you? They say, well, thank you. I really appreciate that. Or you're being my thoughts.
Right. Mark mentioned that he didn't know what to say, and we found that a lot of times people don't have a clue what to say. So they'll end up saying pretty offensive things like, you'll be okay. Or you didn't really hurt God, and it's not your fault that you're, silly stuff like that. So what you want to say is, I love you, I care about you, and I want to help you. Don't say, let me know if you need anything, because then that puts the burden on the ill person to try to discern how much does Joe really want to help me and what should I ask him. Instead, offer specific help. Say, I want to bring a meal over next week. What day works best for you?
Right.
Or I'd love to go with you to the doctor. When's your next appointment?
I love when someone said to them, I know how you feel. And she kept hearing this. And finally she said to the person, when did you have breast cancer? What year was that? I'd like to talk to you about that. Mm-hmm. She said that shut them up, and they never said that again.
Well, it's a very, very interesting story. It's a great book. Do you think you'll have another one, sequel?
I don't know. We did get a message, though, from one of the people in the book. And this is a great lesson for me. He was a 35-year-old. He played Major League Baseball. He was a pitcher. And so he had great health. At age 35, he was still in wonderful health, and he just didn't feel good. So he went to the doctor and said, hey, I'm a professional athlete. I know my body. And the doctor said, no, you're okay. He looked at him. He's okay. Went back again a week later. Finally, he was diagnosed with acute lymphoblastic leukemia. That's a death sentence unless you get a stem cell transplant. Now he had to get a stem cell transplant, which he knows nothing about. So they found someone to transfer stem cells. I'm sorry. There have to be 10 markers to match, and they found someone with the 10 markers. Unfortunately, that person was in Germany, and he is in Los Angeles at City Hope Hospital. So they had to fly the stem cells from Germany to New York, New York to L.A., L.A., the City of Hope, and then insert them in his body. And now he celebrates two birthdays. His DNA has changed. And I got this letter from him about 4 months after we published the book. And it said, quick note, I had my first comprehensive blood work today at City of Hope in L.A. after nearly a year. It was all good news. I don't think I'll ever stop being nervous about my checkups. The feeling of relief when they say my numbers are good is indescribable. I thought about this as I'm thinking about everybody else in the book. I hope all their numbers are good, too.
Oh, yeah.
So when someone says to you, hey, I just got to have my checkup, you know, I'm cancer-free, but it's a yearly thing, I've got to go back, I never thought that this is the scariest day of their life until their next one.
Yeah.
So that taught me a huge lesson.
Well, Mark and Mary Kay Liston, thanks so much for stopping by today. The book is Diagnosed, Inspirational Stories After an Alarming Medical Diagnosis. Who's the publisher and where can they find the book?
Amazon. Everywhere Amazon.
Everywhere Amazon is available.
That's right. That's right.
Well, thanks again for
Thank
coming.
Thank you, Joe.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it.
It's a great story. It's a great